This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown, sounding slightly different today. I've seemed to have picked up a bit of a cold, got a bit of a sore throat and a runny nose. The good news is it's not contagious through podcasts, so you can still keep listening to the podcast, but I am medding myself up with lots of things to boost my immune system, so hopefully you can get over it pretty soon. But I'm pretty amped to share today's guest with you. It's a brand new story, and it's the first time we've spoken to someone from Hong Kong on today's podcast. He's not originally from Hong Kong. Hong Kong is home now. He's originally from Italy, but it is a pretty cool story. He took up the sport of triathlon about a year ago, raced on the Big Island this year for the first time, and it was his first full-distance Ironman triathlon. We'll talk about how he qualified through a 70.3 in today's episode two. But imagine this, your first Ironman triathlon, you come out of the water and you're 220th in your age group. As far as the overall division rank, your bike split is 213th, so yeah, not shooting the lights out by any stretch of the imagination. And then you get off the bike and you go and smash a 253 marathon, the fastest in his division, the 10th fastest marathon on the Big Island overall out of everyone this year, and a pretty cool story to go along with it. I'm talking about Stefano Passarello. He joins us on today's podcast, and I think you are going to love Stefano's spirit and just his story and enthusiasm about the sport of triathlon. Before we get into that story, though, I must tell you that this edition of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Health IQ. According to a study by Lee et al., it was published in the Journal of American College of Cardiology back in 2014, runners have a 30% lower risk of all-cause mortality and a 45% lower risk of death from heart disease. So why, as an athlete yourself, shouldn't you be rewarded for that? Well, historically, you get penalized by life insurance companies for family history, your BMI, other attributes, but you don't get rewarded for being health conscious and the lifestyle that you lead as a triathlete. Well, the good news is now you can get rewarded. Health IQ has special rates for athletes just like you. You can qualify through their Health IQ and other lifestyle quizzes like their cycling IQ or running IQ. And it's cool too because you also get additional savings by submitting actual data like your race results or if you hook up your Strava or Runkeeper and other app data as well. You know how as a good driver you can save on your motor insurance? Well, Health IQ have a unique mortality model on the health conscious and have lower rates for health conscious people. So what have you got to lose? Head over to healthiq.com/Kona. Not only will you save yourself a few bucks, but you'll also support the show. You can also text the word Health IQ, all one word, to 44222, and I'll send you all the details. The URL to get to once again is healthiq.com/Kona. Stefano, welcome onto the Kona. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
Stefano, I'm super excited to have you on the podcast because you've literally been thrown in the deep end into this Ironman thing. You raced at Kona, the Ironman World Championships in 2017. So we're a few weeks post race as we're recording this now, and you had an interesting day out to say the least. The fastest amateur run split on the day. You ran it was a 2 what?
Yeah, I ran 2:53. Marathon split, yeah. Apparently, it was also the fourth fastest time ever ran in Kona by an amateur. Just because I'm a nerd accountant and I like to put numbers straight.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, that is a phenomenal run indeed. But we're going to be talking about that at length. But I say you're fairly new in the sport. You've only been doing triathlon for a year.
Yeah, I did my first triathlon last year, October 1st. And my second triathlon in Laguna Phuket. So, yeah, I'm relatively new.
That is absolutely incredible. But you come from a running background. You've obviously got some serious pedigree in running, and you've run a good few very fast marathons, standalone marathons. I think you're a sub-220-odd PB. Tell me about your best marathon.
227, yeah. 227 marathon. I did it in Rotterdam. And I ran 66 minutes in half marathon. That's it.
That's phenomenal. Well, Stefano, tell me a little bit about why triathlon. I mean, obviously you've got some pedigree in the running. What's attracted you to the sport of triathlon, and particularly Ironman?
Well, I need to take a little bit of a step back because I'm not a triathlete. I'm an injured runner on a physiotherapy. This is like how I like to define myself, although I'm enjoying triathlon very, very much. And actually my journey in triathlon starts with an Achilles tendonitis and a big frustration on being injured from running. And well, I've always been running essentially because I wanted to trim weight. I was overweight as a 20 years old guy, and I started running to lose weight. Then I went from losing weight to winning races. And then, of course, I developed a kind of dependency, which is not a dependency, it's more of a lifestyle. I mean, for me, it's a primal need. I mean, running is like my companion. It's like I need to sweat in the morning, at least, otherwise I don't function. You can call it dependency. For me, it's a way to be balanced. So I couldn't run, and I was hurting with my Achilles, and it was becoming quite frustrating. So my big friend Roberto told me, why don't you start a little bit of cycling? And he gave me a bike for my birthday, and I started cycling, and it felt good. So, and that was the natural evolution to triathlon. And I do think that kind of completes everything because I can swim. I love swimming, although I'm pretty bad at swimming, but I like it. And for me, it was pretty natural, and I'm very happy to be able to do the three disciplines.
Stefano, your qualifying process was quite interesting as well. Obviously, with the company that owns Ironman having been bought out by a Chinese corporation, there's a big move for races out in China. And you did your first 70.3, and you were telling me before we started recording, you qualified for Chattanooga Worlds at that one. Tell me a little bit about that race and taking up the slot to go to Chattanooga.
that's an interesting one. You know, we have a pretty good community of triathletes here in Hong Kong, yeah. And I had a few friends of mine, you know, all cool and stuff, even a little bit cocky, doing this Ironman thing, yeah. And I just finished a marathon in Hong Kong, and I ran the fastest Hong Kong resident. And I actually I wanted to trim a little bit of weight, so I discovered this principle of, you know, ketosis, faster training, and stuff like this. So probably I became a little bit egomaniac, and I said, okay, you know what? I did a marathon, I recovered from my Achilles injury. Now I can actually challenge myself, and I went, well, what is the biggest thing in the world for triathlon? And Ray, my good friend, said, there is Kona. What is Kona? Yeah, Kona, this Ironman Hawaii. Yeah, cool. Okay. So I tried to qualify, and I went to a place called Liujiao. I don't expect you to know it because it's pretty in the middle of nowhere in China. And I did a pretty good race. I mean, I did like a 4:30 half Ironman with a 1:19 run, off the bike. And unfortunately, it was not enough to qualify for Kona. I just qualified for Chattanooga, which it's cool. But, you know, you can imagine, like, when Ray came back home qualifying for Kona, Hawaii, and I told my wife that I qualified for Chattanooga, Tennessee. I mean, with all due respect, that it's a little bit of different. So I somehow found a lot of motivation to find another race at the end of August, which was the last slot that I had to qualify for Kona. And I did it. I trained over the summer with my friends. Actually, I did the best training of my life because I was super happy to go out with my friends every day. I was very consistent. My training is very atypical because I don't do intensity. I just do a lot of volume, trying to talk when I train. This applies in running and also in cycling, apparently works. And at the end of August, I did this race in Chujing, and I was the third guy in my age group. I qualified for Kona, and, you know, and after that, it was just amazing. I only have 5 weeks to train, but, you know, like, you're so happy, and you're so committed to the thing that it was just it was just amazing, you know. I went from not knowing what Kona was to it's all about Kona now.
Is it? Are you sucked in properly now? Is it? Have you done it? It's out of your system, or do you want to go faster? Is this something now that you really want to chase?
Oh man, that's a, I don't know. I mean, I have a mix. You know, whoever has done Kona once in their life, and especially the way I did. I mean, I don't want to brag, but you know, I'll tell you a little bit more about the run later, but you know, running at 340 pace down Alley Drive and your boy is waiting for you at the finish line. How can you say I'm not going to do it again? Frankly, I mean, who would you dare to say that? So in one hand, I know that the journey to Kona will be harder because there is a lot of training involved, but it depends how you take it. I mean, if you're joyful about the journey or it's unexpected, that as it happened to me, it was not that bad. So I know that some marathon that I prepared were like quite intense because I fully committed and I was like going out in the morning and putting on the miles and stuff like this. But in this case, it was pretty natural. And honestly, that's probably the way it should be because it's not just taking a toll on your body, but it's taking a toll on your mind as well. So I work full time. I'm the managing partner of a pretty large accounting firm. So, and your family also wants your attention, right? So I don't know. I need to think about that. But right now I'm still pretty high on Kona.
I'm sure.
I'm waiting for my endorphins to settle at a decent level.
But before you make any life-changing decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Stefano, let's take a step back. Growing up, were you, I mean, you said you were overweight in your 20s and it was lifestyle, but were you active as a kid growing up? Did you play sport?
Yeah, I just played. I mean, I'm Italian and everybody plays football. I played football, but I think one trigger to my consistency in training is that I was pretty large. I was pretty fat and I was not as good. You know, so I had this kind of deprivation from playing because sometimes the coach was putting me out of the pitch and then I don't know. I mean, probably because, you know, the girls were not looking at me. I started running a little bit and you know, like when you're 18, 16, 17, 18, I never done track and field. So I always, I started running to lose weight and then from trying to lose weight, I developed this pleasure out of running. So I was going for my morning run, 4 or 5K, and then it evolved until I ran my first marathon, and then you know everything becomes, you know, I'm a firm believer that for the first 30 days of your life of anything you do. You need discipline. 31st day becomes addiction, and it works pretty much with everything, with sport even more.
When did you realize you were pretty good at it?
I realized when I ran the Macau half marathon. I still remember as it was yesterday. I was running with the Adidas Gazelle, absolutely non-running shoes, and my friend Marcello brought me there as a Christmas present, and I ran 1:21 half marathon in a hilly course, basically with no training, not even proper shoes. So probably I just conditioned myself over the years. And from there, I, you know, when you realize that you have probably, I don't call it talent. I mean, I don't really believe in talent. I just think that when you realize that you have potential and your body can give you something that you don't expect, then of course you want to dig into it and validate that you're right. So yeah, that was 2005, if I'm not wrong. Yes, 2005.
You sound, and I think for a lot of people who race in Kona particularly, you have to have this competitive streak in you. Are you very competitive by nature in everything that you do? Do you hate losing?
Yeah, I must admit that, yeah, I'm trying to dominate my type A personality. I've done a lot of work on it. I've seen that there are many people losing their mind doing what they're doing, but there are also people that find a good balance. So when you know that you can get carried away with competition and you try to dominate a little bit your competition sense or your competitive spirit, you become a much better person. So it's like an instinct that you need to dominate. But if you want to ask me a question, yes, I do have that instinct very badly. I even compete with my dad that is 70 years old when we go for a run. I let him go in front of me. I give him like 30, 40 seconds, and then I'll try to chase him before we get home. We have a lot of fun.
I love that. That's fantastic. Stefano, tell me a little bit about the balance. You mentioned work, and you have a pretty high-powered position at work. You work a full-time job. You've got a family as well. How do you get the balance between training for a thing like an Ironman and work and family life? I think that's one thing a lot of age groupers struggle with is that balance.
Yeah. Okay. I was actually looking for a solution to this, especially when I started putting a little bit more training, because as you know better than I do, training for an Ironman, training for triathlon is different from training for running. I mean, running, I was out 1 hour, 1.5 hour, finished, and I'm already a competitive runner. Yoo-hoo. Point is, when you do triathlon, you have a lot of stuff to take care of. Also that times like fixing your bike, repairing and blah, blah, blah. So you need to be, I mean, you have two ways to face it, right? I call it the Rainer way, which is one of my mentor in training in this sport in triathlon. And he used to be my neighbor. Now he's back in Mexico. He's one of the fastest age grouper I know. And he's extremely organized, extremely. So he has a very structured schedule. He wakes up in the morning every day of the week. Monday is for something, Saturday for something else. On Sunday, he recovers. So he's very structured, right? I think that this works for certain people. So organization is possibly the safety net. I like to take it another way because I wouldn't be able to do this. I love training. I mean, everything is about how I feel about sport. I cannot have a structured schedule. I mean, I've been trying to be coached by a coach, but I dropped because I'm uncoachable. So I need to train intuitively. So I know that I need to reach a certain amount of hour or a certain volume to be strong. And it was the same for running. Now it's the same for triathlon. I know that I need to train certain amount of hours, right? And I need to train a lot. I need to train beyond 20 hours at low intensity. So it makes it even more complicated. But the thing is, you are not exhausted when you go home, right? So if you train 2 hours in the morning at high intensity and you go back and at the office and you're trashed completely, and then you go back home and you're in a horrible mood, because I know that happens, it's one thing. My version is, I wake up a little bit earlier than average, so maybe 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 I would say. I started training maybe 5:30, and I'll train for like 3.5 hours. So I'll train until maybe 8 to 8:30, and then I'll be at the office by 9:30. Fortunately, I can get at the office at like not too early, right? So probably this is my luxury. But my training is very, I don't know, somebody call it Maffetone method. I frankly reverse engineered that because I've been doing this for years and years, before with the running, then with the triathlon. And then they told me that I'm trained this Maff style. And then I read a little bit and I kind of like it. But the thing is, when I'm in the office, I'm not as tired. So I still have some energy left on the tank to like have like a decent, normal, working life and going back home and being happy about playing with the kids. So what it's really exhausting about training is probably the intensity, because if you train with frequency, with high volume and low heart rate, I mean, go for a walk every day for 3 hours. You're not going to get tired, are you? I mean, unless you're pretty in bad shape, but you understand what I mean, right? If I train 110, 120 or like whatever, we can call it 180 minus age. I train at 180 minus age, minus 10, even minus 20. Like this morning, I was tired. I don't know why. I don't know. Yesterday, I did a boot camp with a friend of mine, and I was tired. You know, I was exhausted. So I just got my bike, and I went out for 1.5 hour cycling, right? I'm not saying that it's random. What I'm saying is I have my guidelines, but I do adapt very much on the intensity, right? So that's it, just to leave something in the tank.
Yeah, I find that very interesting. You're obviously talking about the full marathon method of training, and a lot of people swear by it. Obviously, you've sort of figured it out in your own way, reading up about it afterwards as well. But you talk about those heart rates and training at that very low intensity. As far as have you always trained that way, or is it just? I mean, has this come as a natural progression? What made you decide to follow this method?
I can tell you, I cannot train in any other method. I mean, that's the way I'm built. Like, I have some funny stories. I go for holiday in a place called in Sicily, in a place called Pacino, which is pretty much at the edge of Sicily. And there's a group of guys that train every day, and they are like quite slow, frankly. I love them, but they are very slow. So they will train like a 5 or 5:30 pace. And, you know, I was enjoying so much being with them, talking to them, hearing to their stories and stuff. It was relaxing for me. I mean, I was on a holiday, right? So I could go out with them. I was jogging 4K, get to their to the track, go out with them for like 10, 15K, going back, doing 4 more K. So I was clocking like 20, 25 kilometer per day, right? At very, very long time. I was just running like for the pleasure of running. And I was just talking for the pleasure of talking. And I do talk a lot. and then I went to race in Hong Kong, and I was running 3:10, 3:15 pace with absolutely no effort. So I didn't study to do that. As I said, I mean, I probably reverse engineered that, and I never had a track. I mean, I've never been on a track and field. I mean, I don't have an athletic background. I'm just an expat guy that started to be an accountant and pick running for pure pleasure. That's it. For me, it's like going out and having fun with my friends. That's it.
Well, we're going to dig into the individual disciplines in a bit more detail in other chats. But Stefan, how important is recovery in your training and not sort of overdoing it day in and day out? Do you run every day? Do you train every day? Do you take some days off? What's the story?
I don't take any days off. I train once or twice per day. And I recently picked up the habit of training on Sunday with my family. Before, I was training every day alone. Now on Sunday, I'll use my family as a training because I will put my daughter on my carrier, and I will go for a big hike. So essentially, yes, I do train every day. I never take any days of rest. And yeah, probably because of my training method. If I would do intervals every day, I would need to take some days. Yeah. I can't take days off because otherwise I don't function again.
I was going to say that too. It's with a low intensity, you're not smashing your body day in and day out. So recovery is maybe not as important for you as it would be for somebody who is doing lots of high intensity stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, training is like brushing my teeth, or I don't know, or combing my hair, or whatever any need that you have to do in a normal life. I mean, it's part of my daily routine.
Svana, you also mentioned coming from a background being overweight. I can attest to this as well, that if you're not training, and I think it might have something to do with you being Italian and how good Italian food is, that if you're not training, you tend to pick up a bit of weight. Tell me a little bit about that struggle.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, not anymore, but, you know, I was worried to gain weight, right? So being worried of gaining weight, it put me in a condition that I need to be consistent, right? So right now I can control my weight because, you know, it's all about being intuitive, you know, it's all about, being fed or self-feeding yourself. You can eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner just because society tells you to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, And especially when you're in the business world, you're a little bit of an outsider. If you say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to have breakfast or I'm not going to have lunch because it sparks my insulin level. So people would even get that, you know, not even athletes would get that. Right. So, I did a little bit of studying, and actually my nutrition, again, it's carefully planned, probably because, I have this past, as a little fat guy. So I'm pretty careful. And from being careful, I become very science oriented in this, sometimes even boring. In decomposing all the macronutrients that I put in my body, so I'm a little bit again of a nerd when it comes to nutrition.
Well, I look forward to digging into your nutrition in a lot more depth in another episode. But talk to me a little bit about obviously as an accountant, you talk about you're a bit of a nerd when it comes to analyzing things. As overall training, particularly in the build-up to Kona, how analytical were you? I mean, was it a case of did you live and die by the numbers?
No, absolutely not. All I have is a beautiful sport watch, one of the most common one, with my heart rate monitor, and I use that just for my long runs and my long bike rides. That's it. That's all I do. I try to train as intuitively as possible. I know that I have 7 days a week. I know what I will do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Saturday in terms of discipline, in terms of sport, but and in terms of volume. But the intensity, I will just decide it on the spot according to how I feel. If I feel like crap, I have absolutely no guilt in either swapping my training or reducing the timing or adjusting it or whatever. I mean, the most important, in my opinion, is frequency, so consistency, and probably overall volume. I'm a big fan of volume, although people tend to disagree with this, but I will put intensity and I will put an interval training probably once every 2 weeks, if even. And I need to feel good, because if I feel bad, I wouldn't do. But I race, so my big training is actually race day. If I need to go to intensity, yeah?
Yep.
So intensity is, like, race day is my intensity training. You can put it this way. Never thought about that, yeah.
That's interesting. Well, Stefano, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about your swim next time out. Thanks for sharing your story here on the Kona Edge today.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Team Robertson Ready. Team RR provides personalized triathlon, running, and nutrition coaching. And as a client, you'll receive a customized program based on your specific needs for your triathlon or running goals. Team RR coaching is hands-on and takes into consideration each athlete's strengths, weaknesses, and unique life schedule. The nutrition program is individualized based on individual blood panel markers, personal goals, past history, as well as using current research on what works. Team RR is led by former elite triathlete John Robertson, who also holds a Bachelor of Science degree in nutrition. To find out more about John and the work he does with Team RR, simply head over to teamrobertsonready.com or alternatively go to theKonaEdge.com/coaching. Don't forget too, if you're a coach and you'd like to use the Kona Edge to grow your coaching business, head over to that same URL. It's thekonaedge.com/coaching. Scroll all the way down to the bottom and you'll get all the details there. And that's it for this edition of the Kona Edge. How cool is Stefano's story? You are going to love the chats I have with him about their individual disciplines. But the next one coming up next Thursday here as we talk about Stefano's swim. And I can tell you it's got to do with a wine barrel and stealing a cell phone. You're not going to want to miss that one. That's all coming up in a week and a bit from now. Don't forget, too, that time is running out. If you'd like to win an entry into an Ironman, we're paying for someone to race to the value of €750. US dollars. All you need to do to find out more is head over to theKonaEdge.com/win or simply text the word Ironman to 44222 and I'll send you the details. And a massive thank you to our sponsor today. It was brought to you by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health conscious people get special life insurance rates. Just head over to healthiq.com/Kona and you can support the show and learn more, or simply text the Health IQ, that's one word, Health IQ, to 44222 and I'll send you those details straight back. That URL once again, healthiq.com/Kona. What have you got to lose? Go check it out. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.